Okay, welcome once again to the studies that we've been doing through the book of Ephesians. And in particular, we've sort of been focusing, well, we have been focusing on spiritual warfare and the armor of God. So last time we were talking belts and breastplates. This time we're talking sandals and shields. Have you got your sandals on? Are they done up tight? Have you got your shield raised? What on earth does that even mean? All of the armor is obviously critical in this battle that we're in, but understanding how to apply and use the armor is, well, kind of important. So we're going to look at that today, and I guess to get a little bit more specific, we're going to try to answer the following question. What are the sandals for? How do they relate to the gospel of peace? Why is the shield of faith so important for all areas of the armor? Can you raise your shield to protect another? And what are some of the examples in the Bible where the shield has been raised? We're going to look at maybe just quickly, but we'll look at some examples in the life of David, Habakkuk, and even Hezekiah. See what they found. All right, so we're going to probably start maybe more with the sort of the doctrine, the theory, and then we're going to move more into the practical examples for our life in this day and age. Okie dokie. All right, let's begin and let's look at that must-have fashion accessory, those gorgeous Roman sandals. So the verses that we're going to look at is Ephesians 6, 14 to 15. Say, stand firm then with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, I've mentioned before how Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians while under Roman guard, and he had this image of this Roman soldier in mind as he discussed this part of the letter. Now, the Roman soldiers, they didn't wear boots. They wore sandals. When I was at school, Roman sandals were the worst. We had the option of wearing Roman sandals or shoes through the hot summer. Shoes and hot feet, it was. I could be wrong, but I doubt that the Roman soldiers wearing Roman sandals in Roman times considered what their sandals looked like quite as much as we did as school-age teenage boys. But the Roman sandal worn by those soldiers had a whole lot of practical things really going for them. They were highly durable, they were robust, they were useful in both mobility and stability in the fight. These sandals, they had straps that went around the foot to keep them secure, and they had studs underneath the sandal which gave them great grip. So Paul is telling us that in our battle, we need great footwear, and there's none better, he says, than having our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. All right, well, that sounds obviously good, but what does that mean? It's kind of right about now that quite a few commentators, they make the jump thinking that this speaks of evangelism and sharing the gospel. They can see that this verse is referencing the gospel of peace. They note that it's in connection to the feet. And so they normally jump to Romans 10:15, which says, "And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Now, I don't want to downplay the supreme importance of evangelism and sharing the gospel at all. But that's not what this verse in Ephesians is about. Context is always king. And the context of this part of the armor is the instruction to stand. Stand against the wiles of the enemy. It is standing your ground and not being pushed around by the enemy's attack. Three times in two verses, Paul emphasizes the same thought, stand. When the fiery darts are coming in, stand. When the winds seemingly blow from every direction. Stand. When your faith is being attacked, stand strong. When you feel like maybe my feet are starting to slip, remember the gospel of peace and the God of peace and stand once again. You know, this gospel of peace that Paul talks about, it, you know, it provides balance, steadfastness and sure footing. It allows the believer to stand securely, and it's kind of a threefold peace. Firstly, and I should actually say that the enemy will actually try to knock you off stride in each of these three areas. So what are these three areas? Firstly, peace with God. First and foremost, the gospel of peace provides peace with God. You know, that's through salvation. And it brings assurance that all is well between the Almighty God and your soul. And, you know, that provides a tremendous solid foundation that all lives need to be founded upon. You know, therefore, it's also an area that the enemy tries to attack and cause doubt in. You know, he'll get the believer to focus on their performance, their works, instead of the rock solid foundation, which is the finished work of Christ. The readiness that comes from the gospel of peace is in place when we renew our minds and stand strong in the truth of the gospel of God's grace and salvation in Christ. You know, listen again to what God's word says, Romans 5, 1 to 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into what? Into this grace in which we now stand. So through salvation, it links this peace with God and being able to stand. But the gospel of peace is not just limited to peace with God, it's also the peace of God. You know, because it connects us to the author of peace, and it provides peace to our hearts in the midst of even difficult times. Just to give you an example, while I was actually preparing this message, I got an email from a reader of the website asking if I could pray for a young teenager in their church that had just been hit and blinded in one eye by a golf ball. You know, and such was the damage that the eye had to be removed. The person emailed me because she remembered that I'd gone through something similar and that I had lost the sight and have lost the sight in one eye, and that was through a surfing accident. You know, and there's just so many challenges and difficulties that come our way as we go through this life, and we don't know what a day will bring forth. And the enemy will seek to throw us off track by various trials, contrary winds, fiery darts that come our way. But where would we be without the presence of God and the peace that he brings? It enables us to stand, just as scripture says. Maybe this is you right now. Maybe you're struggling a little bit. You know, to quote just a well-loved, well-used, yet never worn-out verse, let me just say this, Ephesians 4, 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's it. Awesome, awesome verse. Got to remember that as we move through these days, difficult days. Thirdly, this gospel of peace actually brings peace with others as well. You know, there's so much conflict in this world, so much hatred, so much with people just not really getting along, even families having their bust ups and bitter disputes. Yet the gospel of peace not only gives the believer peace with God and the peace of God in trying times, but it extends that peace out towards others. It encourages us to love our neighbors. It even asks us to love our enemies. It brings forgiveness, reconciliation, and gentleness between one another. The enemy is obviously against all of this. But we stand on God's word. We follow his instruction. To give you one verse, Romans 12:19, he says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." All right, let me just quote a great Bible teacher from yesteryear, A.C. Gabelian. He writes this. He said, "The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This does not mean the preaching of the gospel to others, Christian service, or soul winning. We have, through the gospel, perfect peace with God. We know that God is for us. Who can be against us? This perfect peace we have, in which we stand, is our preparation. And we have the peace of God as well. Yes, the legacy our Lord left to us, my peace I give unto you. Therefore, we are not terrified by our adversaries." And he writes this, which I really liked. He said, "Israel wandered over the desert rocks and desert sands for 40 years with shoes which did not wear out. We too wander through the wilderness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, a peace which will last as long as God himself." I really like that. All right, so let's go back to the scripture and just focus on one other aspect of it. So Ephesians 6:15, it says, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness," or other versions say preparation, "that comes from the gospel of peace." So let me ask you, before we move on, are you prepared? Are you ready to stand firm? Are you ready for when the evil day comes? Are you ready and prepared when your faith, or the faith, is challenged? You know, the scripture tells us that the believer is to be fitted out with this flash footwear of the gospel of peace, but it's to ensure that they are ready, that they are prepared. I like how the Amplified Bible actually says this verse. It says, "And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace." So it's showing that we have our feet shod in preparation to face the enemy. You know, the Bible has called us to stand firm against the schemes of the enemy, to stand firm in the true gospel and the true grace of God, and also to stand firm in the faith. You know, let me take that last verse, which is actually from 1 Corinthians 16:13, as an example. You know, many young Christians, they go off to college or university and they come under attack for their faith. Many are not prepared or ready for the opposition, for the arguments that come their way. And they find that they are not able to stand firm in the faith. For my life, I was actually the opposite. I went off to university as an unbeliever, but through reading the Bible, came back a believer. But sadly, many go the other way. But there is a preparation that having a solid grounding in the faith and the true gospel that makes one ready for both the intellectual and the fiery challenges that you may face. And let me just say that for the age in which we live, many challenges are coming. Many challenges are coming. Just to take a wee detour into the challenges maybe of the last days, I was reading the book of Daniel the other day, and I just saw how even Daniel, when he got a glimpse of what was coming in the last days, he needed the Lord's peace and the Lord's strength. You know, you probably obviously already know that Daniel was given visions, prophetic insight into what some of the things that would happen on this world in the last days. And in Daniel 10:1, it says that one vision was of great conflict. And what was the result upon Daniel of seeing this vision? He was actually left prostrate and speechless on the ground. Let me just read a verse. Daniel 10, we'll read from 15:16. It says, "When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and I spoke, and I said to him who was standing before me, 'Oh my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I've retained no strength.'" But what happened next? What happened when he was overwhelmed? Daniel actually received encouragement, strength, and peace as the word of the Lord came to him. It goes on to say, he said, this is the reply to Daniel, "O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage. Be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, 'May the Lord speak, for you have strengthened me.'" So may we too, as we walk in these troubled times, receive from the Lord. May we learn to receive from the Lord all that we need as we look to him. May we experience his peace as Jesus promised for these days. You know, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So I guess to sum up this section, really, this part to do with your feet being shod, prepared with the gospel of peace. You know, the gospel of peace gives a firm foundation. It gives stability. It gives steadfastness to the believer in the midst of any attack or trial. Going to have to wear those Roman sandals, spiritually speaking. But there's something else. There's something that must be used to actually protect each part of God's armor. And that's the shield of faith. In Ephesians 6:16, it says this, "In addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." So the Bible says, in addition to all, or the New King James puts it, above all, taking the shield of faith. Again, the Amplified Bible is quite useful here. It says, "Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith." You know, the Roman shield that Paul used as an illustration was no small thing. You know, we're not talking some small, round Captain American shield here, you know, though to be fair, that was actually a pretty handy shield. But the Roman shield, it was about 4 feet long, about 2.5 feet wide. And as such, this shield was used to really protect attacks and arrows that could come in and could strike any part of the body. So this shield had to be lifted up above all. Now, the Bible says that God himself is our shield. You know, the great saints of the Old Testament especially wrote about this. They found this to be a fact in some trying times. For example, in Genesis 15:1, when Abraham was needing reassurance, God came to him and he said, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." To give another example, King David, when he was basically on the run from Saul, you know, and he was having all these brushes with death, yet he was saved by the one who surrounded him. And he would write, as it's recorded in 2 Samuel 22, 2 and 3, says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Saviour. So it's fantastic to know that there is actually someone, the Lord Himself, who actually is a shield for believers. You know, we need to remember this, for the word says that you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So there's the connection really between the shield of faith and the practical outworking of peace. But we need to lift up that shield of faith. You know, it's no good hanging that shield down low. You know, the Lord, yes, the Lord is our shield, and he will only allow that which is beneficial for us to come into our lives. But he also wants to develop the character and person of Christ in us. That is why we have to play a part in this whole battle. That's why he trains our hands for battle, as David wrote in Psalm 18. So when the fiery arrows are coming in, it's our faith in God's care and ability that protects us. And we have to renew our minds and lift up that shield once again. To give you an illustration of this, in John Bunyan's timeless classic, Pilgrim's Progress, he writes about Christians' fight, battle with Apollyon. And he writes this, he says, "Once he was in the valley of humiliation, poor Christian was immediately put to the test. He had not gone very far before he spied a foul fiend coming over the field to meet him. His name was Apollyon. And Christian was afraid, and he struggled in his mind to know what he should do. Should he go back or stand his ground? As Christian thought about what to do, he realized that he had no armor for his back, and that turning and running would give the enemy an easy target for his darts. Christian decided that standing his ground would give him the best chance of surviving Apollyon's attack. Then Apollyon straddled himself over the whole breadth of the way and counted, 'I am void of fear in this matter. Prepare to breathe your last, for I swear by my infernal den that you will go no further, and here I will spill your soul.' And with that, he threw a flaming dart at Christian's breast. But Christian had a shield in his hand by which he averted it and its danger. Then Christian drew his sword, for he saw that it was time to make a stand." You know, the shield must be raised against all the little fiery darts that come our way. To give you an example from scripture, I was actually reading the book of Habakkuk again the other day, and I just really noted the contrasting ways that the book begins and ends. It really starts with the shield of faith hanging low, but it doesn't end that way. You know, our prophet Habakkuk, he faced very challenging times, and he had quite a few questions of why. Why is this happening, God? Why are you allowing this? Why are you not listening? That's how the book starts. It starts Habakkuk 1, verses 2 and 3. "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds." Yeah, he had all these questions. And the shield of faith was hanging low. But that's not how his letter ends. It doesn't end with any more whys. It ends really with probably one of the greatest statements of faith, even in the midst of difficulty and trial, that you're going to find. Here's the conclusion to his letter. He writes, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, and though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights." So it ends in faith. It ends with that shield raised high. And I was thinking, for the days in which we live, like many are facing troubling times, and faith is just essential. The world is actually running on the opposite right now. It's running on fear. And even Christian leaders fall into this trap. I asked a visitor to the website how things were going for her in India at the moment. She replied, she said, "All is normal except in churches where only 70% are allowed to attend the service." That's because of COVID regulations. "Services have to be within 1 hour duration. The sad thing is," she wrote, "there are some church members who attend the service with evil intentions, not to worship, rather to report it to the government if the church does not strictly adhere to government protocols. Church leaders and pastors are blinded, filled with fear, not even wanting to shake hands with believers for fear of corona. Now it's both the government and the church that compel vaccination. Some churches don't even allow unvaccinated believers to attend the service. Some pastors even preach that the blood of Jesus can't heal you, but only vaccine. While others say, if you say that we are living in the end times, you are over-religious." These are our so-called pastors, by the way. "We lost our father in the month of May, but still no church leaders or pastors have visited us. I feel that church leaders have failed miserably." I found that really, really sad, because believers should be able to lift up that shield of faith and walk in faith, not fear. And the fact is that many actually around the world, wherever you are facing the loss of jobs and freedoms. You know, severe restrictions on abilities of movement, abilities to live, unless they really get this experimental COVID injection. In New Zealand, where I live, the government's just passed a no jab, no job law this week for all that are in education and medicine. You know, they already had it for anyone that was considered a frontline worker. You know, this alone has several members of my own family facing dismissal for their jobs, even though they're perfectly healthy. And this is only where it begins. You know, people are facing this all around the world, but without the shield of faith lifted high, the fiery darts can easily become too much. But God. Never forget the but God. I really enjoyed a message that Pastor J.D. Farag gave recently, and he actually asked his listeners for any but God experiences that they may have had in the midst of these trying times, and he received more wonderful testimonies and stories than he could even read out. In the written study that I'll put on my website, there'll be a link to that video if anyone's interested. All right, H.A. Ironside, he kind of reminds us and puts it well. He says, "And then protecting the rest of the armor, the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." He said, this is the shield of confidence in God. This is what faith is. It is not the faith, not what you believe, but how you believe. It is faith in the sense of confidence and trust, going to meet the enemy with your trust in the living God and not in yourself. All right. I also just wanted to look at whether we can lift the shield over others to protect others. As believers, we are always stronger together. And we need to be able to lift the faith of others. And as I was looking, for images of Roman soldiers for the study, I kept seeing and appreciating the photos of a group of soldiers all huddled together using their shields in a communal way, basically to guard the attacks from all the different directions. There were no gaps in front or above, but the shields were just knitted together to form a really strong defense. I actually looked it up, and some people said it was called the Testudo formation, but it was also known as the Tortoise formation. I quite like that, the Tortoise formation, being able to go into your shell, a nice place of protection. So, how do you lift up your shield of faith to protect another? I mean, you do so by standing strong yourself and encouraging the other person through your faith. To give you one last example from the Bible, I want to just have a look at what Hezekiah did in probably his darkest hour. You may remember the background to the story, but Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, had come against Judah. And he was taunting the people of Judah. He was mocking God. He was basically saying, "Don't think that Hezekiah can help you. Don't think that your God will be able to stop me. We will crush you like we have all the other nations around you." I'm going to look at this story in more detail in the next study, but just for now, I just wanted to focus on what Hezekiah did when even his own military officers began feeling fear and they started to believe the words and the threats of the enemy. And this is what we read. It's in 2 Chronicles 32, verses 6 to 8. It says, "He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square of the city gate. And he encouraged them with these words, 'Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles.'" And it says, "And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said." There it is. The people gained confidence from what Hezekiah said. What did he say? What did he do? In the midst of this overwhelming army that was coming against them, Hezekiah simply reminded them of the Lord. He basically said, "With him, Sennacherib, it's only the arm of the flesh. That's all he's got. But with us, oh, with us is the Lord our God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." So that's how we can actually raise the shield of faith for others around us as well. To remind them, to renew their minds, especially when they're struggling. Turn their thoughts and their hearts back to God and who He is. He is our shield. All right, so we've been speaking sandals and shields, peace and faith. Two go together, really, like peas and carrots. They can't be separated. So what have we looked at? We've seen that it's the peace with God and the peace of God that gives the believer such a great footing and foundation. Tremendous stability for the battle ahead. Forget Nike and Adidas. Okay, this is the footwear that really makes the difference, and it never wears out. but it needs to also be combined with the practical action of lifting up your shield of faith, just as Habakkuk found, just as David had to do. Do it for yourself when the darts start coming in. Lift it up for others when they are down by encouraging them in the Lord, just as Hezekiah did in the days of old. And believers are definitely going to need both the shield and each other in greater measure in these coming days. We're also going to need something else, and that's the helmet of salvation to guard our mind, and the sword of the Spirit to actually fend off the attacks. And unsurprisingly, that's going to be the focus of the next message in Ephesians. So I hope you can tune in for that, maybe in 2 weeks' time. So thank you, if you've made it this far, thank you for listening once again. I hope that that was some encouragement to you. Have a read of those scriptures, awesome scriptures in Ephesians 6. Have a read also, if you could, if you want to do a little bit of homework, have a read of the whole story to do with Sennacherib and Hezekiah. It's found, I think, in Isaiah 36 and 37. It's also in Kings and Chronicles. It's an amazing story. We're going to focus a little bit on that because it's a real attack on the mind. It's good to see what Hezekiah did in those difficult days. All right. Thanks once again. May God bless you. May you have a good week in Him. May you press on, read His word, give Him thanks. Amen.